Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. John Paul II's reign has ended. One of the longest reigns of a pope from the beginning. 26 years. All the time of which we've been here in this chapel. Hailed by not only Novus Ordo Catholics, but by the secular world as well, and the mainstream media, as for all practical purposes, John Paul the Great, his legacy is a church crucified. The Catholic Church crucified. Crucified on the cross of ecumenism. No longer the one true church of Christ, outside of which, as has solemnly been defined by the church over and over again, there is no salvation, but at best a part of the larger one world church of all religions, even pagan religions. Certainly, he has brought the church to the brink of such a religion. Everything is in place for it, with his death, and for the Antichrist. It is for John Paul's successor to only acknowledge this one world church, if not proclaim it. One of the architects of it, incidentally, is Mikhail Gorbachev, the former communist dictator of Russia. He had seen the Pope, and I think more than once had conferences with him. Yes, the legacy, I say, of John Paul II is a church patently, yea, blatantly apostate. That is to say, divorced from and corrupted in everything traditionally Catholic. Doctrine, worship, and legislation. We designate it commonly as the Novus Ordo Church in respect of the Mass, the new or Novus Ordo Mass that was introduced by his predecessor, Paul VI, 35 years ago after the Second Vatican Council. After the Second Vatican Reformation, to say the truth, along with the Mass, all the other sacraments have been revised, updated, Protestantized, like the Mass itself. As for doctrine, John Paul II himself replaced the traditional official catechism of the Council of Trent with a new catechism that compromises its teaching. And they dare to call it the Catholic Catechism. Since when do you need a new catechism? Any more than a new Mass? And the traditional code of canon law drawn up by Pope St. Pius X, he replaced with a new code that incorporates and cements the decrees of the Second Vatican Council. Vatican II. One of the laws in that new code, incidentally, permits Protestants to receive the Holy Eucharist in Catholic churches. Yes, I'm not lying or exaggerating. Louder than his words, did his actions bespeak John Paul II's demeaning of the Church. To mention only some, more than 100 times, somebody kept count, more than 100 times he apologized for things the Church has done in the past. He approved the heresy of Martin Luther, the founder of Protestantism, that man is saved by faith alone. He went to the Wailing Wall of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem to insert in it one of his written apologies for the church's supposed mistreatment of the Jews. And he recognized their expectation of the Messiah. He recognized this as legitimate. There is a Jewish expectation of the Messiah. Nothing less than the denial of Christ himself as a true Messiah. He made a large contribution of Vatican funds to the building of a cathedral for the Orthodox, the Schismatic Orthodox Church in Belgrade. He kissed a copy of the Quran, the blasphemous Bible of the Muslims, given to him as a gift. He kissed it, the kiss of Judas. And he gave his approval, not so long before he died, for the construction of a new basilica in Fatima, which is to be the center for all religions. What more could he do to show he was not a Catholic, much less a true vicar of Christ? Who will be John Paul's successor? Well, hardly anyone better, if not possibly worse. The already overstacked College of Cardinals has been packed with men of his own mind. More than 100 of them will be voting. I know of none of them myself who is about to reverse what he has done. Yet short of that, the successor of John Paul II will be no more a true pope than was he. A cardinal otherwise legally elected to the office cannot have the divine authority of the office of the papacy if he does not renounce Vatican II with all its works and pomps. A pope who is not with Christ is against him. He can scarcely have his authority, his divine authority, though he might be the legal head of the church and able to keep it functioning as a visible institution, a legal institution. Short of a true pope, I say, the church will simply remain in its present state of captivity, captive of her modernist enemies, the same modernists condemned 100 years ago by Pope St. Pius X. It is for us traditional Catholics, Catholic remnants scattered around the world, to resist them until we do get an honestly Catholic Pope, however and whenever that is to be, in the hidden providence of God.